Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
We're back on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's Baby Friday. It's a Baby Friday Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving edition. Full day of...
No small Baby Friday.
No. When they know it's Baby Friday, they deliver the babies. Three NFL games. You have World Cup in action right now. We're still deciphering how we feel about yesterday's Canada loss against Belgium, 1-0. Mm-hmm. Missed opportunities plague your mind at times when you try to reflect on what Canada had and let slip away through their fingertips. Let's talk to our next guest, our insider, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. It's Gareth Wheeler, one soccer analyst and the voice of Canada qualifying. Good morning.
How are you guys?
Oh, we're good, I think. I think we're good this morning. We've been discussing how we feel, and I think we've settled on inspired, but also a little bit of disappointment. I don't know if that's a perfect mix or not, but wondering how you view, you know, we'll just start broadly, yesterday's inaugural game at the World Cup for Team Canada.
My morning has consisted of lozenges to get my voice back.
Well, and appreciate some coffee. You coming on for us.
No, it's some coffee to get some life back into me. I just found yesterday draining. I'm not sure about you guys, because I felt like the entire country kind of rode this wave of emotion with this group, which kind of was set in this direction over the course of World Cup qualifying, where really this team went from like obscurity to an obsession for a lot of people. So, having grown up in the game, being involved with the game, covered the game my entire life, I actually had no idea what to expect from this group once it got onto the field at a World Cup against the top side against Belgium. It could have gone fantastically well. It could have been an absolute disaster. Like, I had a lot of wiggle room in terms of the way that I thought that this was going to play out. And they just started, and they were so confident, and it looked like the Canada team that we've seen over the last 2 years. And it absolutely exceeded expectations. The disappointment is understanding. No one's going to be more disappointed than John Herdman and that group by not at least coming away with a point from that game. But I just came away from that match with this immense sense of pride. People in the game in this country being told that the sport kind of doesn't matter and Canada will never be on the map. And these players have struggled and grinded their way through to carve out professional careers and sacrifice to be part of our national team. And then we arrive on the scene and we're truly there and we fit in. And, you know, we don't look out of place. And seeing the players belt out the anthems and just be so brave in their performance. I came away with my chest puffed out a little bit. I understand the result is inevitably what you're going to be judged on. That's what sport is all about. But that could be maybe the best case scenario in terms of a loss that's possible. And I don't think all is lost with this team. And I just think it provides a platform, not only for these next two upcoming games against Croatia and Morocco, but building towards 2026 with this group as well. I think that people have now kind of stood up and took notice, and we understand that this group is for real.
Well, I love that perspective that you led with there, that we didn't know how to feel, that you didn't know how to feel. You didn't know what to expect when you followed this team as close as anyone throughout the qualification process. If anyone was going to have an idea or have like a hunch on what to expect, it was you. But I think that showcases it beautifully, because Canada had, or that team had, Canada's attention yesterday, and everyone was able to form an opinion based on what they saw, because it was kind of a clean slate. And I think I'm with you. Pride was the one thing that came out of my mouth. That was the only real emotion that I could feel. Yes, disappointment. Yes, you wish you had a little bit more. But the pride was like overwhelming. And if we do spin it forward, and I'm not ready to spin it forward yet, we still have a chance to get out of this group here. But if we're talking about like the indelible impact, pride in this team, that could be the thing that sort of carries us through and takes us to the next level. If everyone felt that same sense of pride, then Canada soccer is in a pretty good spot.
I think so. I think that is the sentiment. Like that was the first thing under John Herdman's mouth post-match, right? It's just like, we belong and I'm proud of this group. And you sense his frustration, but that's it. Once you get down to it, there's a ton of things that we can nitpick. And it will be, you know, scanned over, and things do need to improve for the next game in order to take that next step. But the overall sense of what the performance was all about, out shooting Belgium 22-9, looking very comfortable, more dangerous in possession. Kevin De Bruyne is one of the top players, top three players in the world today. He plays for Manchester City, just such a good player. He was anonymous. He was given the player of the game, and he was embarrassed. I'm not sure if you guys heard the clip, but he was like, I'm not sure why it was given to me. I don't deserve this. Canada played much better. Congratulations to Canada. Like, he was showing some shame and some real perspective when he was presented that award, because Canada were the better side. There's no question about that. And this is the Belgium team that finished third in the last World Cup. In the Euros, they lost to Italy, the team that went on and became champions. Like, this is a really good team, and Canada pushed them to the limits. And their manager even said that they were the better side today. So, I mean, small wins when you actually come away with an actual loss.
Yeah, when I state the obvious, Gareth, Ailish usually lets me know about it. But early on, I felt I was stating the obvious when I just said, when we were watching the game together, that Canada was better. When did you pick up on the fact that Canada was at least better with the run of play yesterday, even though the result wasn't there?
I always want to see how the first 30 minutes of the game go. And this is the way that Herdman does things. He'll start out for the first 15, 20 minutes play one way. He'll see how it goes. Then they'll adjust a little bit, and they'll see how the adjustment goes, and they'll keep the other team on their toes. Like, it's a tried, tested, and true tactic that they use. So they came out on fire. They came out high-pressing. They're energetic. And then for the next 15 minutes, they kind of just sat back a little bit. And even when they sat back, Belgium had nowhere to go. Belgium was conceding possession. Canada were comfortable and still having the better chances. So it was at that moment, I'm like, this is Canada's game. Like, they are dropping. Although their performance did drop a little bit in the second half, I think. I'm not sure if the substitutions worked. And there's a lot of players on this team that aren't in season right now or aren't 100% fit. I think the fitness caught up to them in the last 20 minutes as well. But really, 30, 35 minutes in, like, there was no looking back. That's why any coach or manager that you speak to, the first 10 minutes of the half and the final 10 minutes of the half, and to concede so late in the first half the way they did, is just, it's a kick in the, it's like a punch in the gut. It's just, that, just the wrong time. They got into the room and it was clean. It was 1-0. And they came out of the room really well as well. It just, you hate to concede at the time they did, because it was one-way traffic, really.
Did you see a level of confidence or, I guess, experience from Belgium, how they were able to just own the game once they had scored? And was that the difference, that maybe Canada doesn't have that level of experience? Belgium was able to dial it in and know how to play with the lead. Was that kind of one of the reasons why that team was able to pull it out? Even though they might not have been the better team, the level of, we know what we're doing, we have experts, we have been on this world stage, we can control having a lead for the rest of this match.
I think you're absolutely right. The way that I kind of framed it was like attention to detail. Like, Belgium did the little things right from a defensive perspective, you know, putting players behind the ball. It was pragmatic, not the way that they wanted to set out to play, but it ended up being efficient. And where I think Canada lacked a little bit of something, and this is something that they'll learn from and build from with experience, we saw it when they played Uruguay in a friendly a couple months ago as well. It's just in and around the 18-yard box of the other team, like, the decision-making wasn't good enough. Like, when to shoot, when to pass, the runs to make, like, all the way up the field, even into the attacking third, everything was smooth, everything was on point. It was just inside the area where I think Canada were a little bit excited and didn't show the requisite composure required. I mean, how many shots were blocked in this game? Just or players taking a shot from distance when perhaps they should have laid it off to the left or the right. It was just that decision-making that betrayed them. Just a little bit. And I think some of that just comes through maturity. The other thing too, for all the number of corner kicks and set pieces that this team had, and it was an area that some people criticized this team heading into the tournament, it needed to be better. You need to take advantage of set piece situations. It's such a big weapon in big tournaments like this, when goals are precious, and whether it was corner kicks or set pieces, they just weren't quite good enough. So they need to figure that out as well. So those would kind of be the two areas, you know, kind of in need of improvement out of these next two games.
Can you clean up set pieces, or is that a personnel issue?
I think they can clean it up. We saw Junior Hoilett in the final friendly against Japan. He was absolutely phenomenal. I think he might be their best set piece taker. He took a couple really good corner kicks, but you saw Davies on set pieces. You saw Eustachio on set pieces. Two very good players, but man, I just put Hoilett on the ball. I don't even care if it's in-swinger, out-swinger. I just put him on the ball and let your best players perform. If he's not in the field, then Justin, yeah, you're right. It might be a little bit of a personnel issue. They just might not have that world-class set piece taker. So it's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B.
Yeah, the Eustachio one seemed particularly disappointing, but I guess the most disappointing spot kick was Alphonso Davies missing the penalty. I'm not about the revisionist life. I'm not going to question the decision, but will you?
Absolutely not. Alphonso Davies isn't just Canada's best player. He's the face of Canadian soccer. I would argue worldwide, he's the face of Canadian sports. Social media can only gauge so much, but he has like 5 times the amount of followers as anyone else. Or 4 times the amount of followers as anyone else. And there's some very famous Canadian athletes in hockey and basketball and what have you. Like, this guy is a brand that's actually bigger than Canadian soccer. In that moment, 10th minute into the game, Alphonso Davies, really the leader of this team. Like, you know, Akiva Hutchinson wears the captain's armband. He's 39, but Davies, 22. He's won just about everything there is to win in the game. You trust him in that moment. You trust him to step up. And you know exactly what he's thinking. Like, and it would have been fitting. Alphonso Davies, the face of Canadian soccer, scoring the first goal for Canada ever at a World Cup. I understand he doesn't take penalties for his club side. He has scored twice with the national team. I did call both goals, and I appreciate how, you know, scoring a penalty against Cayman Islands and Curacao are a little bit different than doing it against Belgium in a World Cup. But those players trust Davies. I think the country should trust Davies. Vittoria, David, Hoilett, there's other players that could have stepped up and taken it. They might have missed as well. I can't go back on that. I trust Alphonso Davies every day of the week. And again, that is not why they lost the game. They played 80 more minutes, 80 plus minutes after that, and they couldn't score a goal. You need to be able to make sure that you lock down those details. Robert Lewandowski, for crying out loud, like one of the best goal scorers in the world today, missed for Poland against Mexico the day before. I mean, it happens. It wasn't a very good kick. But there's no way I can blame the decision-making or Alphonso. You want your best player taking that shot. We've been there in shootouts in hockey before. Mm-hmm. You want your best player on it, and Alphonso Davies is Canada's best player.
Don't leave Gretzky on the bench.
That's right.
Exactly, exactly.
All right, so post-game yesterday, John Herdman was saying, obviously looking for a little bit of a positive as well, that the team proved that they can play here. So looking forward at the next 2 matches, do they need to be perfect in order to advance, or do you see a little bit of a situation where they can have a draw or not let their foot off of the gas, but just like, how does this have to play out for us to see Canada make it to the next round?
Yeah, my kind of takeaway from the game is, for these next 2 games, Canada needs to play even better. And it's difficult in a tournament like this because you need to be able to dig in deeper. I think a tournament like this rewards teams with greater depth. Something that Canada isn't entirely blessed with. 5-substitute rule changes that as well for the first time in a World Cup. I'm not sure what you guys felt about it. Did you hear Herdman's comments post-game? Like,
oh, yeah.
He's taking a page out of the book of Masai Ujiri.
Yes, he is.
And it wouldn't surprise me if he was actually chatting with Masai, because that's kind of how Herdman role. Like, he had an astronaut. He had Chris Hadfield beside him during the end. I was like, why is Chris Hadfield there? Like, anyways, The motivational techniques he uses, and I'm sure he is as a game plan, but saying that they're going to go out and F Croatia, I was like, what? Like, I mean, I know a lot of Croatians. They're tough as they come. Croatia is a perennial team that finds a way to have success at these international tournaments. Like, runners up at the 2018 World Cup, they've gone some magical rides before. They have so much experience in that team. The midfield is outstanding. I just, Those are some big comments. Herdman must think that that is what his team needs. This isn't John Herdman putting the spotlight on himself. Everything he says, and I have a great relationship with John. I've got to know him really well over the last decade. Everything he says publicly, there's meaning and purpose behind it. He's not being loose with his words. He's not just throwing out there to, you know, having an emotional outburst. This is calculated. So in my head, I'm like, maybe he thinks that this is what his team needs. Like, don't drop your heads coming out of this game. You know, the fact that you lost this game, like, put your head up. Like, we're going to go out and we're going to F up from Croatia. Like, it's unbelievable. He said there's a tactic behind it, guys. I'm just not sure what exactly, you know, his message and how he's going to use that to help inspire his group heading into the next game.
I loved it. I loved everything about it. I loved that when he was addressing his team on the pitch, it looked like they were hanging on every word. I'm not sure actually who said it, but we've talked to quite a few guests here as we've been teeing up the World Cup. And someone said that he's going to be one of the stars of the tournament. And I don't think it is intentional or deliberate or manufactured like you mentioned. You said it wasn't. This is just natural. This is John Herdman being John Herdman. And I think that he just commands that respect. I think it's going to portend good things for him in the future. Maybe not for Canada. Maybe there's another job out there for him because he's going to be getting an attention for that comment. But more importantly, for what he's doing for this team. It just seems like he's a natural leader. And then you mentioned, yeah, it's deliberate. It's for a reason. And I think the reason is to fire this group up. Not that they need it, because they were, you know, filling out the criteria against Belgium for the most part. But I feel like you're right. It's a tactical thing and it's meant for Croatia. And we'll see exactly what that means for the team, I guess.
He's brought swords and shields. He built newspaper covers with the Toronto Star, you know, before this World Cup qualifying journey even began. So in Canada qualifies for the World Cup, you're national heroes, blah, blah, blah. Like, he pushes all the right buttons. These players, you know, think that they're the best players in the world. Like they legitimately do. Like, this whole, we're fearless. Like, they're not just saying it. Herdman has convinced them that this is the case. He did it with the women's team before that, which has propelled that program in a direction that they'd never been in before. This guy is methodical. He's manic in a good way. He just gets it. Like, his biggest, like, he understands the tactics of the game, but his biggest positive attribute is his ability to read people and understand what they need and what they require to go out and be successful. I feel like even me calling the games, like in our media call, like he kind of know what I needed to go out and run through a wall in my call from. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, sometimes I'm like, wow, I come up a call, like, I just, the guy just is an unbelievable individual. I will say one thing, Herdman might have one regret coming out of yesterday's game.
Okay.
He looked absolutely sharp on the sidelines. He was wearing a suit. I don't know if I've ever seen him wear a suit before.
Really?
Like, he always kind of wears a tracksuit. He's kind of like in game mode. He's on the touchline. Maybe he's going to go and burn that suit. Like, go back to relax, casual. I feel like he was stepping up, dressing for the occasion.
The hair is always great, but there wasn't a single strand out of place. That was the perfect look.
No. Yeah, I don't know if he's had some color put into it. Like, yeah, he just looks, it looks great.
Natural,
but like
salt and pepper.
The suit, he's probably like, why did I wear this thing? Honestly, other than that, probably doesn't have any regrets whatsoever. Fantastic performance.
So we only had the small eye on Croatia and Morocco because we were on the air and we were down at Cafe Diplomatico hanging out, so we were a little distracted. But John Herdman's going to have to go deep into the Croatia and Morocco rabbit hole to figure out the ways that he can exploit the matchup with Croatia, obviously, first. What you saw from that matchup, what you gleaned from that head-to-head, the 0-0 draw between those two teams, how it affects Canada, what are your impressions from Croatia and Morocco as it pertains to Canada here moving forward?
I was one of the many or few, I don't know, that were up at 5 a.m. watching that game. The game was played at breakneck speed. Like, the game was much more intense and played quicker than Canada Belgium, so they're gonna have to be able to keep up with some kind of tempo. Now I think a lot of that tempo is dictated by the Moroccans. It was like a home game for Morocco, and they played very well. It's going to be a real challenge, that final game for Canada. But Croatia, their strength is within their structure, very good defensively, very good through the midfield. They have over 300 combined caps in the midfield, Modric, Kovacic, Brozovic in the midfield, another 115 or 20 in Perisic on the left-hand side. Like, they're really strong in their structure. What they lack is a true attacking threat. I think that Canada needs to be really careful. If you overcommit, this team will absolutely punish you. So they might concede and say, you know what, Canada, you can have some possession. I don't think that Croatia wants Canada playing in transition against them because there's so much speed, and Buchanan and Davies and players of that ilk. So Croatia doesn't want this to be a track race. They want this to be a game that's decided from a technical perspective, where Croatia is the better side. And they want to make sure that they're the ones that are able to take advantage of set pieces in transitional moments. So it might be a little bit tight, cagey. I don't think there'll be many goals in it. If Croatia does score early, it might force Canada to adjust, and that might open things up and could end up in a difficult result for Canada, but it's going to be a fight. It's going to be an absolute scrap. Canada will be up for it. But again, I saw that game against Belgium, and I still don't know what to expect from Canada in this next game. Mm-hmm. Like, it's cool if you go out and do it once. Like, we've seen it in World Cup past. We've seen from the likes of Saudi Arabia in this tournament. Can you replicate that performance? Can you come out and play at that level again against another top performance? So we'll see. Mm-hmm. Your guess is as good as mine. We think we know what we're going to see, but at the end of the day, this is football. A lot can happen. Matchups determine a lot of things, and Canada just need to come out and even play better in their second game if they want to come away with the result.
Do you predict any lineup changes, maybe for Croatia specifically, on the Canadian side, and tactical differences that they might do just to find a way to capitalize on this one?
You might want to start Kyle Aaron from the get-go. It was a little bit of a surprise. It's difficult to say Canada's going to set out and play with two strikers when they play against Belgium. And I think the decision to play Hoilett and Larea ahead of Laren and Adekubi actually works. So he might be tempted to bring in a second striker based upon the fact that Croatia play a back four. Belgium played in a back three, which looked more like a back five. So there might be some tweaks like that. There'll be no changes at the back. The back three will remain the same. Atiba, 39 years of age, played less than 60 minutes. He should be good to go. Same thing with Eustachio. You know, Buchanan, Davies are staying on the field. It's just whether Laren would come in for a Hoilett or potentially another player to add another player to the attacking front line. Other than that, I think it'll be the exact same.
Gareth Wheeler, one soccer analyst and one of the voices of Canada, Canada soccer, and the voice of soccer in Canada through the qualification process. This was fun. This is fun. I hope we can have another conversation. I hope this goes to a fourth game. I hope we can see more of this, because this blank slate, I want to keep filling it up. This is really exciting stuff. And Croatia on Sunday will be great, and Morocco later next week as well. So enjoy it, and thanks for coming on, Gareth. This was a lot of fun.
Right on. Oh, Canada. Oh, baby. And this is great for you guys as well. You get to watch footy when you're waking up and doing your morning show.
It's the perk of
our
show.
Makes your mornings a little bit more bright, doesn't it?
It's better for me because I'm the only one with actual view of the television in this studio. So
thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
You.
Keep up the great work, okay? Thank you.
Thanks, Gareth. This Insider was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. I like to brag about that.
No, it's great. So when you're distracted and people can tell, it's because you're...
It's inspiring.
You're looking at
good for you!
Yeah, good for you, buddy. We've had not much discussion of this, but Uruguay, as Gareth said...
No, I don't want to do this again. Is
well,
it like Uruguay?
They're on the television.
Uruguay?
He said Uruguay. We say Uruguay, which I think is incorrect.
I try not to say Uruguay, but I can't help myself. If I really want to try, it's Uruguay.
You sound like John Morosi whenever he speaks about any player.
Oh, I wish I could do the John Morosi. The John Morosi flair, which he loves to show off,
oh,
by the way.
Oh, he's so good.
And why wouldn't you? No one does that better. No one can just like stop you in your tracks with a little
Every time, I'm always like, ooh, yeah, John.
Thank you, John. One more, please.
All right, you got a couple of minutes here to send in your Wake and Rake submissions at 590, 590. You got a full day of football, a couple
all
more.
Football, Wake and Rake.
Well, we could have a World Cup in there.
Football.
Oh, I get it now. Portugal, Ghana could be a part of your selection. Brazil, Serbia, or the triple header of American Thanksgiving football to tee up. We'll do all that next in the Wake and Rake, brought to you by Unibet on the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
She said it. We're back on the Fan Morning Show. It's time for the Wake and Rake, presented by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. It's football or football today. We're in the second match of the World Cup. Uruguay.
That was good. I like that.
Currently 0-0 with South Korea. Looked like South Korea just had a chance. Anyway, it didn't go in.
That was close.
Flew over the net. We have kind of a limited slate here. The sporting world sort of clears out Pascal Siakam style for the NFL, which of course dominates Thanksgiving. And I kind of wouldn't have it any other way, to be honest. Let's full slate of NHL, bookend for Thanksgiving. Full slate of NBA, bookending Thanksgiving. I love it. So we get full attention on the NFL and the World Cup today. So one more reminder, if needed, to get an anchor submission in, if you would like. Before we get to the Wake and Rake, though, we got to do our pick a side. So hit the music.
And now it's time for Pick a Side on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
So we're breaking the rules already here because Pick a Side is a Friday segment. Big Friday energy with Pick a Side.
But it's
close
Baby
the week.
Friday.
But
and
it's
we
baby
can
Friday.
Do whatever we want.
And that's kind of the theme here. We're deciding to make this a thing, part
we're
of Pick a Side.
We're taking over the show.
And we're not even going to get any opinion from behind the glass.
We've just cut their mics.
We're just going to pick the games, and Team Josh and Daniele just get the scraps we leave.
Deal with it.
Left behind. We're feasting on turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes and gravy. Mm. And whatever we leave at the buffet is what they can scrounge up. The stale bread.
The stale stuffing that's at the bottom of the casserole pan. That is just like eating cardboard. That's what you're getting, guys.
And we say this knowing full well that this will backfire. That we will pick all three of these games, which aren't overly interesting, to be honest, from a money line perspective. Couple blowouts could be on deck here. At least that's what Vegas is forecasting with these games. So I don't generally like your big spread games, backdoor left wide open. I'm sure we'll get backdoored today if, in fact, we go with the favorites, but it's on us today. It's on us to pick the sides, and this will be added to the scoreboard.
Mm-hmm.
We get a win. It goes on our win column. If we lose, you guys get added to your win column.
And then we're doing it again tomorrow.
We're doing it again tomorrow.
We could honestly
normal stuff.
We could pull ahead, or we could tie tomorrow morning, come in 13-13.
That's the opportunity we're giving ourselves because, again, carte blanche. We can tie it up if we go perfect 3-0 today.
When we will.
Or we could be six back.
We got
depending
this.
On how it goes today. So let's start with the 12:30 game, which is always in Detroit. Shout out to the Detroit Lions for just owning Thanksgiving afternoon. Like, it's a pretty expensive
spot.
Property for the old NFL, but Thanksgiving always belongs to Detroit, and it's always, you know, whatever. It's great. We love watching a little appetizer, but Detroit's never been the most exciting team, and yet they continue to own Thanksgiving. They are 9.5-point dogs at home to the Buffalo Bills. Totals at 54.5. Not that it matters for Pick a Side because we're only looking at the spread. Forzy, what do we like here?
Bills need a big statement win. They were just in Detroit a few
days
ago.
They know what it's like in Detroit.
It's basically home field for them now. And I'm picking Bills -9.5.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I can't go with the Lions.
I will say, give the Lions credit. They've been one of the best teams the last 3 weeks.
They have been. They've been scoring points.
They're doing well.
I am already fearing the backdoor cover. Like, it's happening. There's going to be, it's going to come down to one play. Bills are going to be up by 14 or so. The Lions are going to be driving, meaningless. We're going to see soft coverage. The Lions are going to be picking up yards. And then it's going to come down to whether or not
Nancy.
Jared Goff throws an interception. That's what it's going to come down to. But in that scenario, let's go with the team that already has the lead, not the team that needs something to cover, even if it's meaningless. So for that reason, we're locking in the Buffalo Bills. 9.5 on the road. We're only 4 hours from kickoff at Detroit. Next game.
Wait, best appetizer. You having a little pigs in a blanket? Like, is this the pigs in a blanket? This is the appetizer of the day.
Okay.
So what's your appetizer choice? It's coming around.
It kind of offended us yesterday, but mine's...
Shrimp cocktails?
No, mine's fried calamari.
Okay, we're in the same boat. Like, that's kind of our appetizer of the day, a little shrimp with the shrimp. What is it? The cocktail sauce. Oh, it's so good.
I don't like cold shrimp.
Okay, well, I do, so that's my appetizer choice. That's okay, the Bills
so you
Lions
have yours,
game. I also like fried calamari, so good choice.
Okay, you can have a little mine. Next game, 4:30, Giants at the Cowboys. This is a tale of two teams going in opposite directions. The New York Giants are kind of who we thought they were a little bit, like the Brian Daboll shine wearing off just a little bit. Daniel Jones looks like Daniel Jones, and Saquon Barkley, kind of the steam has run out of that engine a little bit too after he was threatening to be maybe offensive player of the year, maybe comeback player of the year. He started off really hot, but it's subsided substantially. The Cowboys are coming off a massive victory over the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota. They are at home at Jerry World today as 10-point favorites. It was around 8.5, 9.5 earlier on in the week. It's now up to 10. I can't go with the Giants based off what we saw here. We're just going heavy, heavy chalk. Let's go with the Dallas Cowboys. My wake and rake pick will come from this game. It won't be the spread, but we're going with the Dallas Cowboys. Double-digit favorites.
That's our meal.
So what's your favorite meal? I know you're a burger guy.
Oh, I thought this is Thanksgiving related.
Oh, then what are we doing having shrimp and fried calamari at Thanksgiving?
That's why I asked you.
We've already had our Thanksgiving.
Today's American Thanksgiving.
Okay, our own Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Appetizer?
Yeah.
Give me a little charcuterie board. Let's get that fired up before.
I couldn't agree more. So that's our appetizer pick of the day.
And then turkey. Let's not get cute. It's not a ham holiday.
Turkey
it's not
with
a chicken
gravy.
Holiday.
It needs to have a
it's
good
turkey.
Gravy on it.
It's turkey.
So our dessert of the day. Vikings, Patriots. The line has now moved to 3. Patriots,
again,
dogs.
The lines keep moving against us. I can't even, like, this sounds so bad. It's just chalk city. But how can you look at what Mac Jones has done over the last few weeks? Yeah, they're winning games, but they needed a punt return touchdown at the death to get by the New York Jets. Mac Jones just can't get it going. We saw Bailey Zappe come in, a month ago and just like fire up the entire Gillette Stadium and fire up the team, but it was only temporary. This team is not very good offensively. Running the ball is their best attribute. If you look at these teams on paper, by their records, it's obvious Minnesota, but Minnesota just has that Kirk Cousins primetime thing.
Oh, no.
So it makes you a little reluctant. Justin Jefferson maybe dealing with turf toe makes you a little reluctant. Maybe this isn't a high-scoring affair. Maybe that's what the Vikings need. Maybe they can kind of fine-tune, reel in their defensive aspect a little bit in this game, shut down Mac Jones, win a tight one, but win comfortably. Win by 4. I got it. I feel like this is... If it was 2.5, I would love it. If it's 3 and we push, whatever. I can't just bet the Patriots because it's 3, though.
We're going all favorites.
All chalk.
And that's fine.
We'll ride the chalk today. We'll tie it up. Pick a side, 12-12 after Thanksgiving, because all the 13 favorites come through for us today.
So on Wake and Rake, on Unibet, we'll be going with Bills -9.5, Cowboys -10, and Vikings -3 for our sides. The guys behind the glass have no voice. They are not involved in this decision.
You can say what you want tomorrow.
That's right. Great text in here. Can you please name the football segment Fourth and Long?
That's pretty good.
That's elite.
Speaking of your name, we had a little discussion about the legacy of your family name.
Oh, yeah.
From a footballing standpoint.
There is a...
Have you talked about this on the show at all? In previous iterations of the show?
I don't know. Forfar Athletic Football Club in the Scottish Second League.
Second division, yeah.
They are now my favorite sporting team on the planet, the Fort Farr Athletic Football Club.
And bettable.
And you can bet them.
I think they're favorites this weekend.
They are. They'll be playing on Saturday, and I will be smashing my team, my Fort Farr team.
So you got to lay the chalk again, but if you want to support the club that Ailish will inherit one day.
Yes, it is in my parents'
then,
will.
Then you can do just that. Maybe one day. We got to find when they play midweek.
They got nice colors, too. Blue and blue.
Got to find when they play midweek, and we got to add it to the Wake and Rake one of these days.
And you know what their mascot is?
I don't.
The Loons.
That's pretty sweet.
And that's a Canadian tie, you know, the loon.
They know. Isn't the club like 140 years old?
Yeah, they have a legendary history. They play their home games at Station Park in the north end of Fort Farr, which is a town in Scotland. They're 137 years old, the club. The Loons and the Sky Blues are their nicknames.
One day you'll have to make it a pilgrimage. Get out to Scotland.
Mark my words.
See your family name and the bright lights.
I will go.
You belong to.
I will cheer
loud. The double
and
blue
proud.
That you bleed.
That's right. I can't wait to add them into a Wake and Rake one day.
Yeah, we'll keep that in mind.
All right, so that's our pick aside. Also, go Fort Farr. my guys.
And go Bills, Cowboys, and Vikings. Let's get to the anchor submissions before we add ours.
Yeah, we got quite a few here. All right, buckle up here. Ron and Markham with another paragraph. Good morning. Back to the drawing board we go for today's Wake and Rake. I like the Minnesota Vikings today. Yes. I hear all the talk about Cousins and night games, et cetera, but New England is not a good team.
Agreed.
The best players on the field are on the Minnesota sideline, and when that happens, it's a recipe for a W. Take the Vikings on the spread. Juliana and your mom are probably so happy that the Golden State Warriors were able to get an easy win versus the Clippers last night. Since I'm a huge Giants fan and her Warriors are not playing tonight, Juliana says to take the Giants plus 10. Mm. Division rivalry games are always closer, and this Giants team plays hard. And besides that, they want to impress Odell Beckham Jr.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that'll be the intention. We got to get Odell. We got to cover the spread today.
It is the Odell Super Bowl.
But it is
tonight.
The Odell Bowl, so I think we can, I don't know. I think, who wins the Odell Bowl? I say the Cowboys. Maybe, again, the back door is wide open. But Daniel Jones has been bad lately. And I think when you see the efficiency with which the Dallas Cowboys offense is running, we've already made our pick, so we can't go with it. I just feel like it's night and day.
But a submission that we could add is Vikings minus 2.5. So let's keep going. But
yeah, it's 3 now in Unibet, so I don't think we can do it.
You can still move it to 2.5.
I guess.
He didn't say on the spread.
Okay, let's go through it.
Next up, we have Jeg and Scarborough. Wake and Rake pick, hoping to turn it around. I'm a bit of a losing streak personally. So going to go with our Bills and Stephon Diggs over 91.5 receiving yards today.
I kind of love that. I kind of love it. I have no.
My pick is from
this
Bills game as well.
I have no idea how. I believe Jeff Okuda is also out for Detroit. Don't hold me to that, but I feel like there is not a chance in the world the Lions can stop Stephon Diggs today. If he wants to go off, if he wants to feast on Thanksgiving, if Josh Allen wants to give him the ball over and over again, he may only need a couple to get 91.
I will say, I think he's going to get 2 touchdowns tonight. So I'm just
okay.
Maybe we'll
put together a little Diggs only parlay.
Okay. Let's keep going, but that's a great submission. Chris and Moncton, tough loss on the both teams to score yesterday, but would have bet that again in a heartbeat. Back at it today with Josh Allen over passing touchdowns at plus money. Detroit defense is rated near the bottom, and in a dome game, it could make for a high-scoring affair.
Is that 2.5?
I had that selected at 2.5 as well.
My only thing there is like, okay, we got to prove we need to run the ball. We got to prove that we can run the ball. Let's try and do it against a team like Detroit. But if the Bills are the Bills, if the Bills do Bills things today, I mean, it could be 4 or 5 touchdown passes for Josh Allen.
Corey from Port Hope here. Dougie Hamilton came through with the over points last night. Soon as Dougie Hamilton scored, I thought of Corey in Port Hope. Never doubt a man who's named Dougie. Going to keep my Wake and Rake pick simple tonight. Vikings money line. Looking for a big bounce back at home after getting absolutely embarrassed last week.
Okay, so some Vikings support and we might be taking from the other game, so we might be more inclined to make it one pick from each game and see if we can sort of spread out the sweat, the Thanksgiving sweat. So
meat sweats.
Whether maybe we tease down to 2.5, maybe we just play the money line, but I think that's the leader in the clubhouse.
Big Mac, Lots to choose from today, but like the play of the day is Schultz over 38.5 receiving yards. Over 38.5 receiving yards. Huge part of the Cowboys' game plan versus the Giants last year. In three games, 26 targets, 21 receiving yards, and 216 yards and one touchdown. Or 21 receptions.
It's convincing. It's convincing.
All right, Big Mac. Keep that in mind. Morning, guys. My lock of the day is over in the Brazil and Serbia game. Brazil is a tournament favorite and will come out strong. Neymar as a goal scorer if you're feeling extra frisky. B. Hall from Ajax. Hey, B. Hall's new.
I love that pick. I feel like I'm trying to happiness hedge against you. I think Brazil just goes off today.
Okay.
I actually like Serbia in this tournament, so maybe they do score. But I feel like Brazil could have three of them today.
Two more here. Was anyone else craving an O. Henry peanut butter yesterday watching the Belgians play in those unis? Lots of turkeys out there today. Too many to choose from. Which ones will we pardon like the U.S. president? Like the Lions to cover the spread of +9.5, the Lions will have a real spread in front of them with some tasty buffalo on the menu. Josh Allen will look like a big turkey out there. Basting in the pocket too long, the Lions will smell him a mile away. Matt from Toronto. Wow.
A lot of Lions support, some creative Lions support. We're not there with you.
Whew.
I think the back door will be left open at some point, but let's not bank on
it. I got to apologize to Matt in Toronto. I missed his text in yesterday, so he's always a favorite of ours, and made sure that he got some time today. And then finally, Jeff from Oakville, Patriots money line.
No, sir.
Okay. So I'm feeling either this over in Brazil and Serbia because we are going to have no picks from World Cup or something from the Vikings game because we
and
both
I think
have...
we would find compromise on the Vikings game, tease it down to 2.5.
Yes.
But I'm also open to Brazil, Serbia. I'm going to let you make the pick.
Let's just take a look at what the Brazil, Serbia over. It's -136. It's fine. It's acceptable for our parlay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's add a World Cup in there.
Okay, Brazil, Serbia, over 2.5 is in there. I'm, because Big Mac is the tight end whisperer, I'm going to parlay Schultz over 38.5 with the Vikings 2.5. Just a secondary, wake and rake.
And you know what? B. Hall from Ajax has never texted in before, so it's great to add you to the parlay, B. Hall.
Tie goes to the newcomer.
Okay, my selection, and I've gone back and forth on this. It's either going to be Josh Allen over rushing yards for the following reasons. I liked over passing and rushing, but it's really hard. I mean, really high.
What is that?
330.5. But Detroit.
I kind of like that better.
Oh,
if you like both of them, just hear me out. If you like both of them, then you expect both those totals to be high. However, if one of them just falls short and he goes nuts the other way, it picks you up.
I understand the logic of it. Let me read you this first, and then you let me choose. Detroit's allowing the fifth most passing yards per game, quarterbacks, and the most rushing yards per game. Adding those two
quarterbacks or just to rush to running to rushers?
To quarterbacks.
Okay.
Adding them together, you get just around an average of 320.
He's at 330.
I'm just saying he's not an average person. The elbow's a bit of concern, which is why I thought he would rush the ball a little bit more than throw it. So that's why I picked rushing yards.
Or he wants to protect his body more.
His rushing yards are at 42.5.
That was a good eye roll, by the way.
Other than last game, which obviously, you know, whatever. He's gotten 84, 86, 49, and 32. Like, he's getting over his rushing yards almost every time. And they're giving up the most amount of rushing yards as a team.
The good thing about Josh Allen is that we don't need Detroit to be that competitive for him to put up big numbers. Like, didn't he put up like 400 yards in the first half already this year? Like, he racks up stats regardless of the situation. It's just not in the Bills' genes to take their foot off the gas. So I think it's a good play either way. This is a Lions team that is so very susceptible.
That's what I've chosen.
So
thank you.
Just go with your gut.
Yep. Okay.
What is it officially?
Rushing yards. Josh Allen over 42.5. Let's put our parlay together. With my selection, over 42.5 rushing yards by Josh Allen. Tony Pollard, over 18.5.
Oh, I didn't even get the rationale.
Oh, sorry. Go.
Ailish Forfar.
I thought you already told it to me during the break. I got confused.
No problem. No indecision for me. Tony Pollard is a weapon for Dallas. They are better when both their running backs are used. The best way to use Pollard is to have him passing balls out of the back, or catching balls, rather, out of the backfield. Pollard gets this on one play early on. This is a no sweat. Tony Pollard over 18 and a half receiving yards.
Put that on the parlay, as well as over 2.5 goals in Brazil and Serbia. Our Wake and Rake submission from B. Hall in Ajax. Welcome to the show. All together on Unibet plus 505 today on your American Thanksgiving. We did just get a text in saying Daryl from Mount Albert, which is my old hood. I wouldn't be surprised if Josh Allen only played the first half. If Buffalo's ahead, then they'll be smart to keep him out of the game.
Nah, they don't roll that way.
No.
They don't do it. And they maybe, yeah, you're right, they should. But guess what? They ran Josh Allen out there when he probably should have taken the week off.
Elbow was in shambles.
And Kansas City's taking control in the AFC. They can't let their foot off the gas. They've chosen to ride Allen. For better or worse, Josh Allen's gonna be out there.
Parlay Poppy just getting in here in the nick of time. Two teams that are 7-3, but only one is deserving of that record. Dallas Cowboys, same game parlay. Dallas moneyline, Pollard over yards, Pollard touchdown. I also love all three of your NFL picks, but I'll be playing it safe by going moneyline on the three-team dream that'll make you scream. Parlay Poppy.
I love that. Throw that in the dock so I can...
You can bet it.
Tail my guy, Parlay Poppy.
All right, a beautiful day of American Thanksgiving football. Bills and Lions kicking things off with your appetizer at 12:30. Your meal of Giants and Cowboys, the OBJ sweepstakes. Who wins might claim him right off the sideline.
I hope he like comes down from like pro wrestling style.
Shakes the hand of the coach, comes
down from the seats, signs a contract on the star.
It wouldn't surprise me.
That's the man OBJ for flair. Style. That is OBJ style.
That's
for
at 4:30, and your dessert, the Patriots and the Vikings at 8:20 p.m. Three games for the World Cup. One going on right now. You've got Portugal and Ghana at 11 and Brazil and Serbia at 2. No Toronto sports in action. So enjoy your football and football day. And we'll be back on Friday on the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailer, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.